Marco.
Hi. I just came out and it went on.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I hope everything went well with the doctors.
Yes, right now I'm feeling pretty good. No, you know, he did that nerve block, so it's wonderful to be able to bend and move and not hurt.
That I understand.
Yeah. And if I'm pain-free for 2 days, or one day even, up to 24 to 48 hours, well, then he'll burn those nerves. He went higher up. So anyway, Rukashim for technology.
Right. And that. So we shall begin. We're in Pasuk 37. But the Aramaic is actually in Pasuk 36. So if you look there, you'll see a big number 37. And that's where we're going to start reading. So we'll first do the Lashem Yichud. Lashem Yichud Kud Shabariku Ishkin Tebid Kilu Urkimu Urkilu Urkilu Urkimu. Leyakda l'shem yudhei bavavhei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayihinu amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'renei aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'renehu. Patach v'yamar v'yamnei mi'mer shim oram uzroah. Ramata Shaber Haikira Okmuha Aval Vaimda Mershim O Ram Danim Rod Uvne Yareya Dinafak Abraham Minaihu Dehawa O Ram Uzro Uzroa Ramata Shaber Danim Rod. Now you'll have to scroll down to where it says Pasuk 37, and then below that we'll get to the translation. He opened the discussion by saying, and from the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm shall be broken. This passage has already been explained. Nevertheless, and from the wicked their light is withheld, applies to Nimrod and the people of his generation, whom Abraham left since he was their light. The high arm shall be broken alludes to Nimrod. My commentary. Nimrod spent 7 years as an animal living in the forest, eating and sleeping on animals and the ground. That is the meaning of broken. Questions, comments, thoughts?
That was a good addition to the meaning, because actually, the metaphors are explained. The wicked, meaning the people, and the high arm being Nimrod, and then what you just said about being broken for the 7 years, and Abram being your life. So we get the metaphors here, plus your addition with the word broken.
Right. Yeah, that was the Midrash. It's available at the Book of Jasher, as we discussed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? Page 38. Shivar Afer Vayam Imna Mershaim Oram Satirach Uvne Veteya Oram Davraham Haor Laketiv Elaoram Sachawa ima im fun Uzroa rama Dishaber da nimrod Sachawa me mate Avatreya Kolbene alma Ugin tach Ketiv lech lecha Begin lean hara Lach Ukol imun deivkun minach mikan uhala. The translation. Another explanation of the verse, and from the wicked their light is withheld, is that it applies to Terach and his household, and their light is Abraham. The verse does not say the light, but their light that was among them. This refers to Abraham, who was among them and then left. And the high arm shall be broken applies to Nimrod, who misled the whole world to following him. And this is why it is written, get you out, so that the light may shine for you and for all who will descend from now and henceforth. My commentary is that the pasuk is clear as written.
So they're saying that Terach was wicked? Is he being considered wicked in that verse?
Yes, they're saying that, remember, Terach left Ur Chasdim with Abraham and with Lot and a number of other people, and they went to Haran. Then Abraham left Terach and some of the people, and some of the people went with him to Israel. So they're trying to explain, why would Abraham leave his father when it's important to honor your father? And they're explaining that Abraham was their light, meaning the light of the people that left Ur Chasdim.
Mm-hmm.
But at a point, it becomes necessary for the spiritual people that represent the revelation of light to leave the others and only go with spiritual people, and that's what it would mean. That's what it means to be in the land of Israel, as those who have visited there understand.
Well, I must admit, Mayor of Rob, while I was there, in some circumstances.
Where, in Israel?
Yes.
I would not doubt it. Because essentially what is happening in the world, and that people don't understand it, and it's, we no longer have to physically move to separate from negative people. You live in a world where you can get information online. You live in a world where you don't have to interact with people, because you need food, it can be delivered to your house. You like a certain restaurant, it'll be delivered to your house. There is no reason that you need to interact with people. You want to pray in a minyan? You could go online and find a minyan. It's not as to the furthest extent, because it's difficult to find minyans online for the morning, for the daily prayers. But come Shabbat, people are doing that. So we see the world as being separated into two factions. The factions of pure spiritual people trying to reveal light, and the factions of negative people trying to create separation. And we have read in the Zohar where it explains that one of the attributes of the Erev Rav is to create separation. So I am quite certain you met Erev Rav in Israel. You see it almost every day when you read headlines or newspaper articles or listen to radio shows coming out of Israel, where they're always talking about this particular Orthodox rabbi disagrees with that particular Orthodox rabbi, and the way they speak about each other, it's horrible. And what another aspect to understand, because the sages have always taught us that the world, the overall world, follows what happens in the children of Israel. So we have the modern state of Israel, but we have this conflict between the various Orthodox factions, between Orthodox factions and other factions of Judaism, and all of this is creating separations. And the way, you know, it's like, as an example, I will use the, I forget the words, but it'll come to me. There was the Palestinians were revolting. They were throwing rocks, and they were using that. They were having children throw rocks, and they were using that to arouse negative publicity towards the modern state of Israel and the way they defended themselves. And this was back in the early 2000s, and it's been there's been three of them throughout the last 20 years where they would riot in this manner of throwing rocks. But where did the rocks come from? The rocks came from the people in B'nai Brak who would throw rocks at cars driving through their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So the Jews always start whatever's going on. In America, you have politicians expressing different separation words in their speeches. And I'm being nice in describing it that way. But where did it start from? It started in the land of Israel 20 years ago, or maybe even 30 years ago. Always you can see the Palestinians use tunnels to go underneath the borders into Israel. The Vietnamese use tunnels. Who was the first one in modern age to use tunnels? Was the revolt in the Warsaw Ghetto, where they used tunnels and sewers and underneath. So it always starts with the Jewish world, with the children of Israel. But people, and the way the history books are written, it's never presented that way.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts?
Well, I had a funny thought.
Good. After what I just said, I'd like a funny thought.
Oh, well, there's one religious group that likes to say the devil made me do it. And there's another group that likes to say, the Russians did it. Yeah. And others like to say, what? The Arab Rob did it. And yet as individuals, we have to look at ourselves and say, did I do it? Or am I guilty of it?
Exactly.
That was, you know.
Very nice. Pasuk 39. Tu patach we amar, we ata lo rau, or bahir hu bishchakim, yatleruach avra, vat taharem, we ata lo rau, or ematai bishata. Ya'amar kudsha b'richu le'avraham lech lecha me'artzecha umi moledet le'techa umi bayit umi beit avicha bahir hu b'ashchakim deva kudsha b'richu Liad Bakalea, Liabraham Behahu, Or Dileila, Ulan Harataman. The translation. Furthermore, Rabbi Shimon then discussed the verse, and now men see not the bright light which is in the cloud, but the wind passes and cleanses them. And now men see not the bright light. When did that happen? At the time when the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Abraham, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house. Because after Abraham had left them, they were not able to see the light anymore. The bright light which is in the clouds alludes to Abraham, because the Holy One, blessed be He, wished to attach Abraham to the supernal light and have him shine there. My commentary. These verses are explaining the spiritual process of creating a chariot. If you have questions about chariots, please ask them on the conference call or send them to me by email. Come in. Come in. Come in.
I'm sorry, Bobby.
I'm on the phone.
Okay. I'm on the number and for address of my son.
Okay. I will. Thank you. I'm back. Sorry for the interruption.
It's okay.
So does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts on this particular verse?
Well, it reminds me of what's said about when a righteous person either moves away from a city or passes away, you know, that the city is diminished, you know, because the spiritual light from that first from that particular person is no longer there. I do think Hashem raises up others to take their place, but Abraham, they're saying that Abraham was the light, and so when he left, they couldn't see the light anymore.
Correct. but it's also, there is a process to connect to Hashem, and there is an elevation that takes place to become a chariot, which is, in a very weak sense, is the word channel. To be a channel for light to other people. A chariot is much more than that, but it's the thought. And that's really very much part of this verse.
Right. Question. Hello?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
When you say they didn't see the light anymore, are you talking about his homeland, or are you talking about Haran? Are you talking about both? They as in the people?
Well, the people are the location. A city is only its people. A city can be anywhere, as was proven when they built Las Vegas. Las Vegas was in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you build a city and people come because there's something that attracts them there. Now, we know the energy of the location impacts who gets drawn there. But what they is in this pasuk is Abraham was revealing light. People sense that, but without really understanding it. It still takes place today. We call that charisma. There are people who reveal light and they're positive charisma, and there are people who reveal light and it's negative charisma. But it's not, when I say they reveal light and it's negative charisma, it's hard for people to understand that. But it's really the light that they're revealing is connecting to the negative system. So when Abraham left Ur Chasdim, those people who stayed behind lost their light, and they could no longer see their light. They no longer sense that charisma. And that's how Nimrod was no longer protected by the people around him. He was no longer attracting those people, and that's why he could fall into this illness that he had, which is known even today. Psychiatrists have a term for it, where he literally thought he was an animal and lived in the forest and ate like an animal and slept on the ground like an animal and so forth.
Just like Nebuchadnezzar? I didn't know that Nimrod had done the same. I know you've said it, but I don't think I've read it in Midrash or whatever, other than Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar had the similar experience because he was the one who destroyed the temple.
Yeah.
Whereas Nimrod did it because he was the one who was associated with the building of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm. So.
And his third incarnation was as the guy who was the leader of Iraq.
Repeat that? I'm not sure I understood what you said.
Nimrod was one incarnation. Nebuchadnezzar was a second. And a third was the leader of Iraq. And they all ended up in the same way.
Saddam Hussein. Okay. Yes.
They all ended up in the same way, living as animals.
That's right. Wow. Wow.
But I interrupted you, Malka, so go ahead. What was your question?
Well, I know when, you know, through reading history, that when the light is removed from a people's, it be city or land, that territory or that place really goes into ruins. Their people are lost, and the people do not survive there. They kind of move on. And then you see a lot of deserted plains or cities or dwellings when
right.
the light is removed. Back in biblical time, they tend to fall into ruin.
And they will in the modern time too.
Right.
There are cities that fall into disrepair, and you know, we call them ghost towns. They still go on even today.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of a comment we made earlier in the week about, you know, here in the South, a lot of the southern region, many of the synagogues have closed.
Right.
And shrinking in population.
And it's not just the synagogue, it's all of religions in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
It's being taken over by the science of religion or the religion of science.
Right. We see that in, as of current episodes, what I foresee, and there's billions of people into that religion, Catholic religion, but there's strife in that religion right now. So
yes.
I feel, in my opinion, and only my opinion, because I've not read that anywhere, I feel that religion will diminish quite in a substantial amount of people leaving that religion based on the current events, because there is definitely a lot of strife in there at this point. So, but again,
actually,
like you say,
I'm not disagreeing with you. That's very much a possibility. But when I speak to people, it's almost never that they want to leave. They want to change it, but they don't want to leave it. So
okay.
We'll see. I'd like
we'll
to.
See.
Yeah.
That's usually the first level. You want to change
it.
And then after a while, you just see it's never going to change. They're still doing what they were doing 25 years ago. But I see that in every, even in Judaism. I mean, I've lived long enough now. You know, that's why I made the comment one day last week, you know, that possibly that's the change that's coming. It's not going to be synagogue life.
Again, I was describing that a little bit earlier in the discussion. There's only one verse left.
Okay.
I'm not going to read the Aramaic, but just the translation, and we really don't have any time to discuss it. So if we want to, but I'd like you to at least finish it. So I'm reading the translation of verse 40. And the wind passes and cleanses them, refers to Terach and all the people of his town, all of whom afterwards repented, as it is written, and the souls that they had made in Haran, meaning that the people of Haran repented. The verse, and you shall come to your fathers in peace, indicates that Terach had repented, for the Holy One, blessed be he, would not have said this to Abraham otherwise. My commentary, now we see which Midrash is accurate for this situation. These midrashim first appears in the book of Sha'ar, or Jasper, as it is now being referred to, as we've discussed. So I would normally ask you for your comments on this verse, and we can discuss it more tomorrow at the beginning of the class if you want. But we'll be going on to section 8 tomorrow.
Well, I can say real fast that the shows they had made in Haran makes me think that that possibly was because of Abraham's presence.
I need to leave the class. I just want to make a comment that the 7 o'clock class tonight is questions and answers, but we also will be finishing up from Sunday's class as well. So you all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Michael.
Bye.